Pray. Heavenly Father, we do just give you thanks and praise. We thank you, Lord, for this life that you have given us, for the situations that we currently find ourselves in. For you went to great lengths to bring us into this situation that we face to teach us. And Lord, I pray that we would not wish to get out of the situation until we have learned every aspect of the lessons that you have set before us. Because we know that you have done these things for our learning. We read in your word that you do these things for our learning. And so, Lord, I pray that we would not despise the lessons that you have given us or had us to go through. Lord, I thank you for the situations in my own life that I need to allow you to be God. I need to depend upon you to have the words to speak to the actions that I perform. And that way I give you all the glory for the results. So, Lord, have your way with us. Allow your Holy Spirit, Lord, to work in our lives. I pray that we would yield, no matter how painful it may be or how much we don't understand it. Lord, let us have the faith to know that you are working and that you want to bring us back, bring us on the other side of the situation stronger in our faith, stronger knowing that you are God. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you. We give you praise this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us turn in our Bibles to the book of Titus. Brand new book. And I guess, you know, I mean, if you need a Bible, we have some Bibles over here. Usually everybody's got it on their phone, so I mean. Titus was a book almost like Timothy. In fact, it could be paralleled with Timothy in the fact of what Paul was doing. Paul was giving forth his last will and testament. He's on his deathbed, if you will. The death nail is coming, and he wants to impart wisdom. Just like we, if we were on our deathbed, we would want to impart wisdom to our children. Don't do this. You're going to fall into a trap. Don't do that. It's a trap. You know, it's all to distract you from your walk with Jesus Christ. And if we break it down simply, that's what it is. We have beset before us a great salvation given us to by Almighty God. He has saved us out of this world. He has given in our hearts new life in Jesus Christ. And so we need to keep focused upon that. As soon as we lose focus on Jesus Christ and his life that he has given us, we're drifting away. Backsliding is what they call it. The more we look at the world, the less we look at Jesus. The more we look at the things around us and the pleasures of this life, the more we're going to despise the things of the Lord. And I say despise because it's a choice, one or the other. You cannot have fellowship with the world and with God. It's not possible. It is not possible. So, in Titus, Paul is giving forth to Titus. We'll just go through the first couple, first four verses. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. So, as I'm fond of pointing out, the verse designations don't necessarily mean the end of a thought or a sentence. And so, in fact, sometimes you'll see a verse break in the middle of a sentence, right in the middle of a thought. They break it for a verse, and I find that to be fascinating why they would do such a thing. But so, in my mind, there was only of the four verses that would all be one verse because it's one sentence and one thought. But so much is packed into that. And this is what God's word is all about. There is so much information, even in the four verses that we just read. So much that we could spend a month going through that. And I know you're probably tired of hearing that, but it's so true. Even if we go through the first verse, we say, Paul, a servant of God. Now, we could stop right there, and I could do the rest of the sermon just on that part there. But what I would like you to do is look at that verse. Yeah, look at it. Now, instead of Paul, I want you to put your name in there. And the first person that says your name is going to get it. Okay? So it's your name, whatever your name, a servant of God. You are a servant of God. You get it? You are just exactly what Paul was. Jesus had said on multiple occasions, he says, go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. This is what Paul was doing. He was being a servant. He was being obedient. Now that's what a servant is. A faithful servant is obedient to the master's voice. And we read in the word, we hear the master's voice, and we do, we obey. But we know that we are just flesh. The flesh is very difficult to control. You know, when Peter, you know, was being, you know, was at the Garden of Gethsemane. He, you know, oh yeah, Lord, you know, I'm going to follow you wherever you go and that kind of thing. But all of the disciples, they were sitting up on the hill. The Lord comes back from prayer and they're all sleeping. And what does he say to them? He doesn't berate them. He doesn't say, what is wrong with you guys? Get up. I'm going to the cross pretty soon. How dare you sleep during this time? No. He says, the spirit within you is willing. You're here. You're a willing spirit, but your flesh is so weak. I get that. This is what Jesus is saying to you and to me. I get it. Your flesh is weak, but your spirit, oh, I love the spirit. But what does the scripture say? Here's the saving grace on that, is that we worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Where's the flesh? It's not there. The flesh is nowhere to be found. We do not worship the Father with our flesh. We worship the Father with our spirit. And that's where it's strong. We're willing in our spirit to do these things according to truth. What's truth? Thy word is truth. The Lord's word is truth. He gave us his word so that we would know the truth. And when we know the truth, it what? Sets us free. Free from what? Free from the bondage of the works of the flesh. You see, as we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind, the Holy Spirit comes in and brings to our remembrance the Word of God. When we're faced with a situation, say we're at a picnic or whatever, and we look on the table there, hey, there's a new phone. Doesn't seem to have an owner around it. Yeah, I'll just pick that up and I'll stick it in my pocket. Nobody will ever know. Nobody will ever know I did it. But then the Holy Spirit comes in and says, thou shalt not steal. It's that Holy Spirit coming in, reiterating to us what the truth is. And so when we worship God, we worship it because the Holy Spirit is bringing to our remembrance those things that we have heard, those things that we have read. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And then when we say, well, no, I'm not going to take that, because the Lord says that is stealing. Guess what? That's obeying the word. That's obeying. That is worshiping the Spirit, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. I have worshiped. I am not going to do that because God's word says not to. I know that much. And also, he says not to lie. Huh. So the next time I'm in a job interview and I, you know, look at my resume there and it seems to be lacking in a certain area and I, no, I've never done that before. Nope, sorry, I don't have any education in that respect. Because it would be false witness of what the Lord has done in my life. You see, the Lord brought everything into my life that I can put on my resume that's true. And I'm, you know, hitting close to home, because when people, you go in for interviews, you want the job. But you got to remember, if the Lord wants you to have the job, you'll get the job. Doesn't matter what your resume will say. You see? But if we try to embellish, it's a test. It's a trap. Okay? Really, it is. Are you going to go with your flesh that says, I need to embellish? Or are you going to say, the Lord says, don't lie. Do not bear false witness. So if you tell an untruth, you're bearing false witness of the one that you serve. Because what does it say here? It says, hey, God which cannot lie. So if we are representative of God, we don't lie. And who gives us the unction to do that? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in and says, don't lie. Just tell the truth. And let the chips fall where they may. Because it's going to come out anyway. If you think you're going to be a witness in this workplace, and you've lied on your resume or to get the job, it's not jiving, folks. It's not going to happen. You've already blown the witness. And you haven't talked to a soul in the workplace. Well, you get past the HR department and, oh man, I'm home free. But then if you're compromising in that area, you're going to compromise in all areas. That's just the way it's going to be. Now, the past is past. The Lord says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We believe that because we've read it in His Word. Where do we read it? 1 John. 1 John is the new believer's handbook. It's the old believer's handbook too, and I'm fond of saying that because there is packed in there so much information that if this was the only book that you had, the only book of the Bible that you had, it would be enough to get you walking as a strong believer in Jesus Christ. It's got everything. Everything is condensed into those five little chapters. It talks about everything. So, you are a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. What is an apostle? Apostle is someone who is sent. Do you have the Holy Spirit? If you have the Holy Spirit, you have the anointing. If the Holy Spirit resides within you in the form of Jesus Christ, as you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the Holy Spirit, and He gives you the power to be a witness. That's what He's here for, to be a witness of what? Of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what happened at the resurrection of Jesus Christ? When Jesus Christ was laid in the tomb, there was a fleshly body laid in the tomb. When He arose again, He arose again a life-giving spirit. He was a life-giving spirit after that. No more grave for Him. He had conquered death. No more of that stuff is going to happen. You see? So you are a servant of God and an apostle. So here's your resume. Okay? Get where I'm going with this? This is your resume. You put on there, servant. I am a servant of God. I do whatever God tells me to do. I listen to the Holy Spirit. Oh, wait a minute. Missed that part, didn't we? This is how we communicate. We read God's word. We hear the conviction of the Spirit. Oh, yeah, conviction. This is what the Spirit of God does. He convicts us of sin. And He confesses that Jesus Christ is the way to get relieved of that sin. And He also warns of the judgment to come. That's what Jesus said. If I don't go away, then the Holy Spirit won't come. But the Holy Spirit has come. And so now, we are witnesses. We know how to get rid of sin. We know the answer to sin. And we can tell people about that. People that are convicted and burdened with sin. And that's what burdened with sin is. It doesn't mean getting caught up in sin. It means that I have a grieving for my sin. I need to get rid of my sin. The whole world is caught up in sin. This is a foregone conclusion. You can read any newspaper and you can see how sin is, you know, prevalent throughout the world. But when you're burdened with sin, that means that the Holy Spirit is working in that person's life. That means that conversion is just minutes away, seconds away. And all we have to do is reiterate what the person already knows. The Holy Spirit has already told these people that Jesus Christ is the answer. And when we come up as witnesses of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives, that is transferred immediately to this person. They're going to be drawn by the Holy Spirit to you, and you just start talking about what you already know. Oh, praise God that He has taken away my sin, and I'm living eternally with Him right now. The lights go on, and we have a new convert into the kingdom. Somebody that has been released from the prison of sin. They've been relieved of their burden. And it's because of what the Holy Spirit has done. Oh, you've been around. You're just around for the ride. You're just going from place to place, just sharing the good news of the risen Christ. How? By your actions. By the way you conduct yourself. And as I said before, preach the gospel always. Don't be obnoxious about it. Don't be militant about it. You don't need to be. It's not your job. Folks, I'm going to tell you here, and I'm going to tell you right now, it is not your job to convict people of sin. Not your job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Don't get in his way. I've read in the Old Testament where people tried to get in the way of the Holy Spirit. Didn't work out too well for them. Dathan, ground opened up, swallowed them all down. Don't want to get in the way of the Holy Spirit. But all the Lord wants you to do is testify. Testify of what the Spirit of God is doing in your life. This is what the Lord has done in my life. Not to look down at somebody and say, oh, you poor dear. Oh, you poor baby. You got caught up in that again? Oh. Uh-uh. It's the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Say it with me. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If we're walking around, I guess I'll go to church now. You know, worship God. What is that? That's not joy. Man, you get, you know, better faces in a dentist's office. You know? Anybody ever had a dentist thing that they dreaded? Anybody? Everybody? Okay, good. Yeah, that's the kind of face I would see there. I see that in church sometimes too. So. The joy of the Lord is our strength. This is what draws people to Christ. The Holy Spirit's working on somebody that's burdened with their sin, and the Holy Spirit says, look, over there, that person. You see that person over there? They have the joy of the... Well, maybe not. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, now they got... No, wait. Come on, would you get the joy going already? And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He's bringing people in droves to you to see the salvation of the Lord. What's it done for you? Man, I am translated from this life to the next life. Eternal life, as we see in verse 2. The hope of eternal life. Now, John goes through great pains to tell us that to know Jesus Christ, chapter 17:3, is eternal life. To know Jesus Christ is eternal life. Do you know Jesus Christ? When will you receive eternal life? Already have it. It's already done. We are translated from this world to the next world as we know Jesus Christ. And do we have all knowledge of Jesus Christ? No. But we build ourselves up in the most holy faith by reading the Word of God. This message that he gives us is to do that very thing. He says to do, and we're able to do, because the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to do so. Henceforth, now you are given the power to become the sons of God. 1 John. Read that. He has given us the power to become the sons of God. Wow, that's great. So the Holy Spirit resides in us and transforming us by bringing to our minds through our daily lives the Word of God. And so now, okay, wow. And that scripture you posted about, man, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways and he will direct your paths. Lord, direct my ways. And he's going to lead you in the places where you need to go. He's going to give you the ability to, even under the most adverse circumstances, you're going to be able to rejoice in the Lord. Because you're not rejoicing in your circumstances. You're rejoicing in what you know. I know Jesus Christ, the creator of all things. If that doesn't make you smile, folks, check, see if you have a pulse. Because you might be, you know, having a little aneurysm or something going on there. Things are not going through. We need to really adjust our lifestyle to what we know. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever been to Cedar Point. And I'm not a big roller coaster fan myself. I was when in my youth, but my heart, I don't think, would take it. And on that big roller coaster they have there, I don't know what it's called. It's that big, tall one. Huh? No. That one. And I'm watching these people, and they're going up, and the higher they get, the more they're starting to scream. Get me over here! You know, or something like that. You ain't going nowhere. You're in the cart, you're going to go. And they go up and higher and higher, and the higher and higher they go. And then I notice that as they start to get to the top, either they're so far away I can't hear their screams, or all of a sudden things start to get quiet as they're anticipating that big drop. Are you with me? You know, you see what I'm saying here? You know? And then, what happens when they make that over? Oh my gosh! You'd think they'd won the lottery. They're screaming! And why are they screaming? Now, this is really what blows my mind. Because they're being hurtled to earth at a breakneck speed. But because they have this faith and this rail to stop them in time, you get the idea? You see? We as believers in Jesus Christ know the living God. We know the creator of all things. He is so awesome. And in our study in the Psalms, I think the church is really missing out as we do not contemplate or consider the awesomeness of God and who he is. If we did, man, we would carve out the whole day just to sit and worship him. If we had this in our head, we would not be caught up in the petty sins that we, you know, are so easily caught up in, because we would have in front of our face the living God, and he would be the one directing and guiding us. I don't want to do anything that's going to go against his word. Because here's the caveat, folks. As we read in verse 2, the hope of eternal life. You see, you have eternal life now. And if you have a problem with living by the commandments of God now, then you're not going to heaven. Because you're not going to be happy there. You see? You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. The only thing left over from this world in the next is God's word. Not one jot or one tittle will be done away until all be fulfilled. All of it is going to be there. And we're going to be ruled and reigned by it. All of these things, because it shows us what pleases God. Oh, man. What displeases God. Now, if you know, and maybe I'll start doing this for marriages coming up. I'll have the husband and wife make two lists. I'll have them make a list of things that they do not like. These are the things that I hate. And then another one, these are the things that I like. This is what I love. And then they're going to exchange lists. And then they're going to say, you do these, you'll have a happy life. You do these, you'll have a happy life. Right? So as long as you go through that list, okay, you said on the list you didn't like this, so I'm not going to do that. You see, that's what the Lord has done. The Lord has given us a list of things that he likes. He gives us of things that he doesn't like. Simple as that. Now, it's not a performance thing. It isn't a performance. It's a heart thing. He knows that by our flesh, which is worthless, dying, getting rid of, right? Hopelessly depraved, hopelessly lost. But it's the spirit, the willing spirit to obey these things that transforms us. Lord, I see in your word that you hate this, and these are the things that I'm doing. Please transform me so that I don't do these things anymore. And then the desire for these things, after a while, will become less and less and less as you're focused on him. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and he will then direct your paths. He will give you the desires of your heart. What's your desire? To be with God forever. Oh, yeah. So, you, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. I think we covered that pretty much. The faith of God's elect is that Jesus Christ died to set sinners free from this world. Right? Jesus Christ died to take away the sin of the world. He died for every single sin that ever was and ever will be done. All of those sins were taken to the cross. There is no sin that you can imagine that the Lord did not die for already. Already done. Done deal. Okay? Save one. There is one sin, and that is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? I've heard sermons on these, and I can sum it up in one thing. To call the Holy Spirit a liar. That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Saying that God, wait, we read it in here, who cannot lie. God who cannot lie. And we say, well, no, there's got to be another way except for Jesus Christ to get into heaven. No, folks. If there is, If there is another way into heaven, then Jesus' prayer in the garden was not answered. And I'm sure, pretty sure that, you know, Jesus and God had unbroken fellowship until the cross. And he prayed, Father, if there be any other way than the cross to accomplish what we want to accomplish, then let's go that way. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And because Jesus went to the cross, guess what? Jesus answered him, didn't he? He said, there is no other, or the Father answered him and said, there is no other way. The only way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ. So, according to the faith of God's elect, if we believe in Jesus Christ, that means that we were elected. We were chosen from the foundation of the earth because we have accepted what the Lord has graciously given us. That's how we know that we've been chosen, because we accepted it. It's kind of a catch-22, but those of you who believe in Jesus Christ, we get that. You know, it's a mystery. It's not something that we can explain. It's a paradox to try to explain it to those that are unbelievers. Well, which came first, the choosing or the accepting? Well, they were both done in the foundations of the earth. The Lord looked through time and saw that this person's going to accept, so I'm going to choose them. Pretty straightforward in my mind. And you can wrestle with that if you so desire, but I don't see the fruitfulness in that. Because it is the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. So anything that you receive from the truth is going to lead you more and more into more godliness. It's not going to lead you into fleshliness, into worldliness. So if you're in the path of worldliness, you know you're not acknowledging the truth according to godliness. That's the thing that we need to look for. Is God being more and more prevalent in my life? That's why we examine ourselves. Lord, examine me. See, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Is there something that I'm listening to other than you that's leading me down a wrong path or leading me into an area where, hey, you know what? I'm not getting closer and closer to God. What's happening? I'm going to church. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. Why am I not getting more and more like God? Why is godliness not happening in my life? Because we're not acknowledging the truth. We're not acknowledging the truth. There are many, many people that sit in church every Sunday, Wednesday, every time the doors open, that have not a relationship with Jesus Christ. They may want one badly, but they don't have one. Their works don't show forth that. Works being their habit of life. It's not leading toward more godliness. And that's what we need to look for in our lives. We need to look for godliness in our lives. Are we becoming more and more like God? And only you can really answer that. It's not something that we're not fruit inspectors in the sense of, well, where are you spiritually? Let me see the fruit. Nope, that doesn't look good. It looks like it's got a worm in it, you know. That's not what we're called to do. If we see somebody that's taken up in a fault, what are we supposed to do? The scripture, God's word, tells us that we are to pray for them. That we are to take them before the Lord. I don't know what is happening to brother or sister so-and-so, but you know what? It seems like they may be struggling with something. It seems like they may be listening to something that they ought not be listening to. It seems like they may be caught up in something. Lord, I don't know for sure because I don't have all knowledge, but you do, and I'm bringing them before you now. And Lord, I pray that you would cleanse my heart, because if I'm seeing something that's not there, I want to be cleansed of that. That's the prayer that we should be praying for our brothers and sisters. So when I call out for prayer for the fellowship, that's what I'm talking about. I'm seeing the so-and-so, man, they're joyful. I pray that their joyfulness is real in you and not because they just got a brand new shiny car or, you know, a raise in pay. I pray that that's not the reason for their joyfulness. Godliness. And more godliness means less worldliness. The things of the world will just kind of fade away. They won't be important anymore. And this is going to be so important in the days to come as persecution rises. Now, the nice thing about persecution is that it purifies the church. It strengthens our resolve in our mind of who we are going to follow. Because when you're persecuted for your faith, man, it's going to be sharp. It is going to be like razor sharp. You're going to know, you know, it's going to be like a laser sight. Man, it is the Lord. and I am ready to die. Just like Paul said in 2 Timothy, I am ready to be offered for Jesus Christ. Can we say that now? I doubt it, because we're not under persecution. All these light afflictions that we deal with now and again. Man, nobody has stuck a gun to your head or a knife to your throat and said, you will either deny Jesus Christ or you're done. You see, in that moment, that's when everything is going to come razor sharp. And you're going to say, I believe in Jesus Christ because I'm going to see him. And it's not going to even give you a second thought. You say, man, I get to go see Jesus today. Man, that's great. Or you're terrified. You see, that's the cause. So you can play that scenario out in your mind. It's happening on other parts of the world. People are giving their lives daily because of their confession of Jesus Christ. Untold of horrors are being inflicted on believers. And it's coming to a country near you in the not too distant future. Not to scare you, but just to get your priorities straight. That, man, there is nothing outside of this world that even compares to Jesus Christ. So in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's when we were chosen, before the world began. That's when Jesus died for the sins of the world, before the world began. In a tabernacle not made with hands, the scripture tells us. That means it was done deal before the earth was ever even created. Before Genesis 1-2. Before. It was a settled deal. This is what's known as the everlasting covenant. You may have read about it. The everlasting covenant. What is that? It's the covenant that was made between the Father and Son before the earth began. Before the world began. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. Now, I'd like to just spend a couple of seconds to contemplate what he is saying here. But he hath in due time, in the exact perfect timing of God, he has done this. In God's perfect time. Not our perfect time. Not according to the clock of TJ. Okay? Or fill in the blank of your name, that name that we put up there instead of Paul's. Okay? That name there. This is it. It is in his time these things happen. How many thousands of years transpired that only the Jews heard the word of God? Man, with the exception, few exceptions that, you know, the Gentiles heard via the occupations or because of deportations or things of that nature, did the Gentiles hear? Very few. There was a couple, but very few. Now in due times. So since Jesus Christ came and died, the whole world is now the audience to hear the word of God. In his timing, he put these things out, not ours, his. The responsibility is on God on these things, not us. So, but hath in due times manifested or given us a listing, that's what manifest means, in his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. Again, here's your job description, folks. Okay, it has been committed to you to show forth the things that God has done in your life. To show forth the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our lives. That's our job. And all we have to do is be a witness. Say, this is what Jesus has done for me. That's all. And to be, you know, if you need to talk to people about it, great. But they will see it. They will see it in your attitudes. They'll see it in your work ethic. They'll see it in the way that you conduct yourself. They'll see it in every aspect of your life, because every aspect of your life is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because you've given control of the Holy Spirit to do these things. I have acknowledged you, Lord, and I am acknowledging you so that you will guide me in all. And all means? All? Really? All? All ways. All of my ways. That means what I eat, what I dress, what I say, where I go, how I do this and that. If I have a set route that I take to work and the Holy Spirit is leading me to go a different route, am I going to argue with it? Well, Lord, it's faster this way. I might be late if I go another way. Well, if the Holy Spirit's leading you, then you can take that other route. How do I know it's the Holy Spirit? Because you're confident because you've been studying to show yourself approved unto God. We read that in 2 Timothy as well, didn't we? Study the Word of God because you love God and you don't want to disappoint Him and you don't want to displease Him. Think of Philip during the time when, man, there's this great revival going on. And the Holy Spirit told Philip, go down into Gaza. Well, there's nothing Gaza. Why would I go to Gaza? It's a wilderness. It's a wasteland. Why would I go there? But he was obedient, and he went there. And he met this Ethiopian eunuch. And then it became clear to him, oh, I get it. He's reading the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit says, get up with that chariot and explain to him the Word of God. You see, there was a purpose for it. We don't understand his purposes. And just like taking a different route to work, even though the freeway seems to be clear, maybe the Lord wants you to go a different way because he wants you to have an encounter with somebody. You don't know. But to be obedient, maybe it's nobody, maybe it's somebody. Never know. Maybe it's just trying to get another crazy off the freeway. I don't know. Sorry, I had to throw that in. He has manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. The common faith of the believers. This isn't that it's common or less than the faith of God. But no, it's the common faith that is practiced among us. There's nothing special about you. It's the same thing as everyone. And as I said, God's hierarchy is a flat line. Straight on. There is nobody higher or lower. The pastor is not higher on the food chain than the newest member into the kingdom of God. We're all on the same plane. We see corporate charts that do the pyramid. You've got the CEO and then all of his, you know, vice presidents, et cetera, filtering on down to the workers. No, that's not how it works in God's kingdom. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, be the master of all. Oh, what?
Servant.
That's no way to the top. Come on, really? How are you going to be? How are you going to get to the top? How are you going to be in? That's right. You be the servant. You who are strong, get under and help up the weak. So it's an inverted pyramid. Here is Jesus Christ lifting up everyone as the cornerstone. The cornerstone of a building holds up the rest of the building. And there's Jesus holding us up. And then we who are strong, he's holding us up. We hold them up through the power of Jesus Christ, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's how it works. That's how you're going to be great in God's kingdom. Great to who? You're not going to get any accolades from people. Forget about it. We're not giving you out any ribbons or any name tags saying, second greatest in the kingdom. Because guess who's the greatest king? Okay, it would be me, of course. No. Yeah, okay. I wouldn't wear the badge. I just put it in a plaque. Grace, the power of God. Mercy, the gift of God. And peace is what we receive when we acknowledge the first two. Grace, the power of God. Grace is the power of God to become the sons of God. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. That's what mercy is all about. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what we do deserve. And so with that, man, that gives me peace. Okay, because I'm not going to get nailed for what I've done, but I'm going to get peace. I'm going to get forgiveness, and it gives me peace with God. And as I acknowledge that day after day after day, 1 John 1:9 comes into play, and I hope in your mind, every time you do something, well, that doesn't sound right. I'm being convicted by the Holy Spirit. You go directly to 1 John 1:9 and confess your sin. Get right with God. Make sure that that's unbroken fellowship that you're able to enjoy. Then you're going to have the peace. Then you're going to have the joy. And the fruit of the Spirit is just going to fall off of your branches. The Father's going to just pluck that fruit up, and he's going to prune those branches so that you produce more and more and more. And it's going to be a joyful thing to you. When trials and things start to come your way, you're going to welcome them. You're going to say, yeah, more fruit's coming for the Father, because that's who I belong to. That's whose servant I am. I'm the Father's servant. Man, can't wait. Can't wait. And peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Man, if you have peace with God, you got it all. There isn't anything that needs to be added to it. So let's have peace with God today. Let's bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have taken away the sins of the world, and that, Lord, that you have chosen us from the foundation of the world, and, Lord, that we can have fellowship and peace with you. So, Lord, I pray that we would take advantage of just having that peace by having fellowship with you, sitting at your feet and learning of you, reading your word and just being instructed. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be like the donkey that's so stubborn and not wanting to be changed. But, Lord, we see our faults. We see our failures, Lord, and we want you to be, Lord, just the ruler and guider in our lives. So, Lord, we thank you and we love you and we pray that we would go out today in your power for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.